Did I read this? I said I did. Do I remember it? Remains to be seen.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where this episode is our mid-season finale. We're taking a
Woo!
break, guys.
I'm Mandy of Penelope Featherington's carriage. I mean, blame me. Blame me.
I don't say less.
I dare you.
And I am Karen of the Holly Library. Welcome to our mid-season finale. We have lots of joy for you to come, I promise.
Yes. And then you're going to be very happy for us that we're taking a break and some
Yes.
self-care.
Yes, we're always preaching self-care, and now we're actually doing it. So,
We're practicing what we preach.
yes, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, for the last time, at least for 2 months, I have to be mean to Mandy. In our
Actually,
timeline,
this is nice to me, and I'll tell you why after.
okay, well, in our timeline, it is May 23rd, and in y'all's timeline, it is May 31st.
So, I'm going to
Why
pull an
is
Adam Silvera and remind you that tomorrow is my birthday month and Adam's birthday month and everybody's birthday month. So,
everybody's birthday
yeah,
month, right?
everybody's.
Everybody. I feel so
If you
not
weren't born in June,
seen.
you weren't born. No, just kidding. It's my birthday month. It's Adam Silvera's birthday month. It's George Bailey's birthday month. Need I say more?
My gosh, love it. All right, Mandy, this week in fangirling, what'd you do?
Well, I read Another First Chance by Robbie Couch, which we'll talk about later. And then, thanks to my besties at Libro.fm, I've also been listening to Blood at the Root by Ladarian Williams. So, yeah, in it, we follow Malik, who experiences this life-changing tragedy 10 years ago when he comes home from a neighborhood party and finds this like group of mysterious figures surrounding his mother, and like he's hearing these weird things, and he like she vanishes. And at the same time, Malik discovers that he has magical powers that he cannot control. And so everyone is like, his mother's dead. She wouldn't have left. So, since he only had his mother, he's thrust into the foster care system where he grows up. He meets his foster brother, Tay, and they like really bond. They are like, this is my brother. And he does everything that he can to hide that he's got these powers that he doesn't know anything about, other than like he had this random outburst and then his mother was gone. So, at 17, he's on his own and realizes that. Tay, he doesn't realize. He knows that Tay is stuck in this foster home that they met in, and that it's not the best environment. It is your stereotypical like foster house that you see in movies where they're just in it for the paycheck and they're mean to the kids. And yeah. So he uses his powers to steal a car, kind of not on purpose, even. He's just trying to steal the car, and his powers kind of help it along. He picks up Tay and just starts driving. And he's like, we're leaving. He drives for a few hours and then he realizes that Tay is having like a diabetic episode and he's like passed out. So he frantically pulls into a gas station and realizes that he doesn't have but like, I think he has like $20. So it's not enough for maybe not even $20. It wasn't enough for snacks that they need to spike Tay's blood sugar back up, nor is it enough for like gas to get them to the hospital. So he is like, I don't know what to do because I can't let, if I let Tay leave me, he'll go back to that house and I have to get him out of there. I don't know what to do. So suddenly a man with a Jamaican accent just like appears and through this series of bizarre events, guides Malik to his long-lost grandmother, who also happens to be Mama Aya, who is a legendary conjurer and magic practitioner. So because of his familial ties to Mama Aya, who is, as I said, legendary, Malik is nearly instantly accepted to Cayman University, which is a legendary, hidden, magical HBCU, where Malik starts to learn about his own magic, his mother's life and her disappearance, and about an evil that's been kind of lurking and waiting in the wings since the Haitian Revolution. I'm really enjoying it so far. I saw someone, I think on Goodreads, compare it to like a mix of Stomp the Yard, like Wakanda Forever vibes, and Harry Potter if Hogwarts was a school, like a college for magical black youths, which I can see, especially when you've got this like hidden magic school that everyone knows about, but no one knows about. And this looming threat of this like dark, menacing evil that everyone thought had been vanquished. So everyone's like, they're not, they're not back, guys. Like, we're just learning about them. It definitely so far has explored a lot of like biases that the world has, and especially America has, especially when it comes to black magic, how people hear voodoo and immediately go to dark evil conjuring in a graveyard and voodoo dolls to hurt, when voodoo is the ancestral magic from the West Indies of Haiti, and even before that, foundations in West African tribal magic. And hoodoo is the same thing. You hear hoodoo and people tend to clutch their pearls. When it's a practice that was created by enslaved people in the U.S. that was inspired by voodoo, but also sometimes combine that with tenets of Christianity. And it's not like dark or demented or evil. Growing up in the South, you don't get as much of the, ooh, it's dark and scary, but a lot of the world views it that way. And someone in the book points out, like, all nobody like bats an eye at all of the witches in Salem, you know, or the witches who were burned at the stake, you know, at the time, they were evil. But now it's like, oh, those poor women. But then when you hear voodoo, you're like, So it's, I'm learning a lot. I'm almost halfway through, and there are so many questions that I have about like how it's gonna, how the story is gonna go. Since this is the start of a series, I know that not all of my questions are going to be answered or wrapped up at the end of this book, nor should they be. But I'm excited to finish this book, and I'm excited to see where it goes, because it's been an enjoyable ride. But because you're, the main character is like a 17-year-old kid, and so he's just like a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So he's funny, but like his reactions to things is just like, oh shit, what? And everybody else around him is like, yeah, we can teleport, you can teleport, and he's like, what? I can't. So yeah, he's a really fun main character, so I'm having fun. I also started The Wren in the Holly Library by K.A. Lindy. I've not gotten far enough to really,
I have the perfect description written down, Karen's, to Karen's talk about coming. It so
I forgot to put this in my notes. I did a beta read for someone in the Searcher's Paranormal Mind world. It's called The Lost Son by Kimberly Horn. And it is about, oh my gosh, what is his name? Osiris. Osiris, lost son, basically. So it's Egyptian mythology. He comes back from the underworld / being in his tomb to try to find his son that has been misled by another god to think that that is his son when it's not. Okay. And it's about a girl who kind of gets roped into the story and roped into trying to find this, he's not a boy, but this person. And she's just like, what is happening to me and why? So that was fun. And then I watched Bridgerton, the first 4 episodes of season 3 of Bridgerton. And my first like bullet point in my notes is, I don't even have the words. It is the friends to lovers story of our dreams. So without going too many spoilers, Colin Bridgerton has spent a few months traveling in Europe and getting his Bridgerton glow up. Do you watch Bridgerton?
I haven't yet.
Okay, so the men in Bridgerton, when it's their season, they get a glow up. Okay, so like Anthony got his glow up. Colin got his. Obviously, nobody got a glow up in season 1 because we didn't have anything from before. So he's gone to Europe to get all hot. Penelope Featherington is entering.
Wait, hold on. That's all it takes? I just have to go to Europe?
He went to Europe and he spent months there, and he came back like with, instead of like prim and proper, he's got like his shirts unbuttoned to his chest hair, and he's got like a Captain Jack Sparrow collar and stuff. And it's like, oh, Colin.
Oh my God.
And then Penelope Featherington is entering her 3rd year in society, which means it's basically a death sentence. She's going to die a spinster. If you haven't found a husband in 3 seasons, you're not going to find a husband. So Colin is her close friend, and he is also brother to her former bestie, Eloise. I can't tell you why they're formally besties, because spoilers, but he's close to Penelope. And so he offers to give her lessons on how to get a husband, basically, because she is us. She's like bookish. She just wants to be left alone to read.
Yep.
She doesn't want to deal with any of this nonsense and the society and all of that. So she doesn't know how to talk to people. And she kind of either info dumps or clams up. And she's like, I don't know what to do. You can imagine how well catch a husband lessons go. Because the first time anybody even glances in her direction, Colin's like, wait a minute now. Now, wait a damn minute. Wait a damn minute now.
No.
Why is he looking at her? Why is this going on? So right after I watched the first half of the season, because the next half comes next month, I was convinced as it ended. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm still an Anthony girly. And it's like, how could I not be, with as much as I love a monologue? And he's the one who gave us, you were the bane of my existence and the object of all of my desires. I think I was wrong. I think I might be a Colin girly for now. I've always been a Benedict girl. I've been slowly dying for Benedict season. He's like the artsy, fartsy, fluid with his sexuality brother so far. But I think I'll love Benedict's most of all. But for now, I think I'm a Colin girly. And I can't tell you anything about it or give you any context. But in the carriage scene, Colin smirks at her about something. And it sent me swiftly to my death. I am still dead on my couch. I will never, ever, ever, ever recover from this like look of like wonder on his face. And then he just smirks and I'm like, what? what is this? What does this mean? And it's too classical Pitbull. It's a classical version of Give Me Everything by Pitbull, and this man just smirks at her. And then Karen, I would allow you to skip all the other seasons and just watch this scene, and you will have everything you need to know about Bridgerton, and you will be like, holy, like, there are people, Darcy and I have gone insane. Okay, we send each other like nonstop TikToks and memes and stuff, because we're just like, this scene is everything on this earth. It's everything you need to know about Bridgerton. It's everything, like, people watch it just back to back to back. I'm sure Netflix is going to be sending out that, like, are you okay? Because you've watched the carriage scene 500 times in the last day to some people, but with good reason, Colin. That's been my week. And like, I'm like hungover for Bridgerton. I have a Bridgerton hangover that will not be cured until June 16th.
That seems to be the general consensus all across the internet.
I hate that they do this to us. I'm going to pay for Netflix regardless. I'm not going to cancel if you give me all of Bridgerton at once.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. What did you do this week?
Okay, well, first, while I was editing, I looked something up because you said something and I was like, hold on, I'm going to look this up. And there is, in fact, an International Aunties Day. It is the fourth Sunday in July. You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So it's very when nice. It's the fourth Sunday in July. Just remind everybody, this is my day.
Yeah, we need to make it a big day, because aunties, I'm not saying we love the kids as much as their moms do or anything, but
I would
die for my nieces and nephews.
I would die for them.
I would die for these children.
Yeah.
And that's not nothing.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. Not nothing. Exactly. So come on. So just wanted to throw that out there for all the other aunties that are listening. You do have a day. We're going to make this a bigger
thing.
Make
it
because
more mainstream.
It deserves to be. It deserves
that's
to be.
The issue. Yeah.
It deserves to knows. Be.
It's like, it's international peanut butter ice cream day, you know, like,
no, we're making this a thing.
Make it a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. So we're manifesting this now. Next year, everybody's going to be all about Auntie's
Day.
There's
going to be a section in CVS for Auntie's Day cards.
I'm here for it.
Yes, me too. Thank
all
you
right.
for that.
Into my week. I read 7% of Roe Devereux by Ellen O'Clover. We've got Roe Devereux, who created an app called MASH. And yes, it is based on that game that we would play, the MASH game. She created it as her senior project, and it was just supposed to be for her senior project so that she could finish high school and all of that. But it accidentally goes viral when her influencer cousin posts about it on, like, her stories.
Should, honestly.
And because it goes viral, a tech investor sees it and offers to work with her to get it off the ground so that they can get, like, big money investors and try and make it, you know, a big deal.
Big deal, yeah.
Make lots of money off of it. And Roe's biggest dream is to go work in Silicon Valley. And hi, yeah, that's where I live. Just in case anybody was wondering, San Jose is the heart of Silicon Valley. So you can imagine how excited I was that we were in this book because we're never talked about. So Ro jumps at the chance to, work with these people so that she can fulfill her dream. Instead of going to college, she just wants to go straight into working and become big in Silicon Valley. But the only problem is that there's a part of the app they have just released that is meant to, it's called Partner Match, and it's supposedly supposed to be able to predict your soulmate based on the algorithm to about a 93% accuracy, right?
Okay.
Hence 7% of Ro Devereaux. And so the people that she's working with, her like little angel investors, are like, we need a poster couple for this app so that we can prove to people that it actually works. And so they're like, you need to do partner match and you need to be dating your match so that you can prove that it can
Yeah,
predict
it works.
soulmates. And so she's like nervous about it, but she's like, okay, fine. And so she does it and it matches her with her supposed soulmate, Miller, who just happens to be her childhood best friend turned stranger after a huge argument that ended their friendship.
Oh.
And now they are being roped into a fake dating scheme in order for the app to look like it's working. And also, Miller gets something out of it as well. And so, I mean, it's a fake dating trope. So
Fake
we
dating
know.
second chance.
Fake dating, second chance, a little bit of forced proximity, because that kind of just happens when you're fake dating. You
Yeah.
have to be, you're forced to be together. And so, yeah, it's really good. I really, really liked it. The fact that this girl is like 18 and created a whole ass app with like
Yes, ma'am.
a whole ass algorithm that was like accurately predicting things for people, it was amazing. So we stan. It was so good. I loved it. And which leads me into Eleanor Clover's sophomore novel, The Someday Daughter, which follows Audrey St. Vrain, whose mother, Camilla, wrote a book years before Audrey was born about her someday daughter. So, the daughter that she expected to have someday. And it's a book about, like, it's a self-help book that teaches women to kind of love themselves the way that they would love their daughter. And it kind of launches her into superstardom. She, bestsellers, everything. Big deal. Camilla Saint Vrain is a big deal. And everyone thinks that Audrey is so lucky because Camilla is her mother. But the reality is very different from that, especially when you find out that Audrey was shipped off to boarding school at the age of 11.
Oh.
But now it is the 25th anniversary of The Someday Daughter, and Camilla is going on like a national tour to celebrate this anniversary, and she wants Audrey to go with her. However, Audrey has all these plans for her summer that kind of just go up in smoke because Camilla is Camilla and does what she does and ruins all of her very carefully laid plans. And Audrey is forced to, follow her mother along on this tour and put on the big smiley happy face because that's what people expect of her.
Yeah.
And she's
You're the
kind of
someday
just
daughter.
dragged her across the country with her mother that she has a very tenuous relationship with at best, but also a group of interns that are working on this tour as well, including a disarmingly honest and distressingly cute boy named Silas. And talk about a monologue. This boy, Silas.
All I care about is a monologue.
I was listening to it. I was just the monologue, and I was like, okay. I get it, Mandy. I get
Yeah.
it.
I'm de like,
It's okay. It's
what is better than a man who gives a monologue?
there's really nothing better. So, but once again, excellent, excellent story. Both of those were 5-star reads, in my opinion. I cannot tell you how I rate my books. It's all vibes.
Vibes.
It's
Yeah.
all vibes, and just Ellen does it for me. So, and then I also read Another First Chance by Robbie Couch. More on that later. I read I Hope This Doesn't Find You by Anne Liang. Imagine to all the boys if Lara Jean wrote hate emails. Okay.
Oh.
So we've got Sadie Wen, who is like the perfect student on paper. She's class president. not president, captain, class captain, something. They go to a weird school, special boarding school kind of thing. A class,
You're on a boarding school kick.
I guess so. She was valedictorian. She, is always a pleasure to have in class. Everything, like the perfect student, right? And she has been in competition with Julius Gong since they both transferred to the school at like the same time, and they have been in competition with each other forever. Okay? And it's just nonstop. And so in her when she gets really angry or frustrated about things, Sadie will go into her email and draft up an email to get all of her emotions out, right? But she's never planning to send these. She just writes it out to get her emotions out so that she doesn't explode on anybody because she is determined to be like the perfect student for reasons that we find out throughout the book. And so one day, all the emails go out, and a majority of those emails are addressed to a certain Julius Gong because, of course, they are, right? Because she hates him. She has been in competition with him forever. And the principal of the school, the principal of the school has this lovely idea that in order for them to resolve their differences, they have to work on things together. So they have to do projects around the school together, which, of course, that always works, right? I mean, in the context of like a young adult novel, yeah, it does. But in the real life, not so much. But so it's like forced proximity. And again, a monologue. I'm on a boarding school monologue like kick this week, apparently. I did not intend for this, but my God, do I love it.
Nothing is better.
And the best part is like, it is so clear. From the very beginning of the book, when they like hate each other, it's so clear that he is gone for her. Like he's done for. He is gone. And he has been gone for her since the moment they met when they were 7 years old. Like it's so obvious, and she does
She
not
doesn't
see
see
it.
it.
She doesn't
Ugh.
see it. And I'm spending this whole time like, girl,
Right there.
right there. Right there, and he's so good. And yeah, so yeah, it was excellent.
Funny aside, I have a coworker, and I'm not going to give anybody's personal info, obviously, but I have a coworker whose daughter had a friendly, like, they were friends about it, but a rivalry with her, a boy in her class, where they always were like, I'm going to get the best grade. No, I am. No, I am. Every, like, they were always the top two, and they were like, I'm going to be valedictorian. No, I'm not. No, you're not, because I am.
Yeah.
She ended up, my girl ended up being the valedictorian, and he was the salutatorian. And I just, like,
Love
I've always told, like, my coworker, her mom, I've read this book.
it. Mm-hmm.
When they get married, please invite me to the wedding so that I
Yes.
can, like, live it in real life and, like, see
Right.
it. And so every time we're like, we work from home now, but, like, we have, like, in-person events every now and then, like,
Right.
just team building or whatever. And every time I see her mom, I'm like, so how is your daughter and how is this boy's name? Because I know that
I've
they're
read
in
this
college
book.
now, but
I've read
I
this
know
book.
they're still in contact. How are they doing? And
I love it. I love
it's
it.
this has been like since this little girl was in like the fourth grade
Oh
that
my
I've known about this.
God.
And it's like little kids who are
Oh
like,
man.
I'm gonna do better than he is. Even in like sports, they did like the
Yeah.
same sports. I'm gonna get better stats than you. I'm gonna win
Yeah.
my game and you're not gonna win yours. But they were like friendly about it. They weren't being
Yeah.
mean. They were like, yeah, are you? Well, watch you not.
Right. And
I love that.
the funny thing is Sadie has like this internal like grading system. So like every time something happens, she gives it a like a certain amount of points based on what happens. So like, oh, I got a better score on the math test than Julius. That's plus 3 points for me. Dang it, he won this sporting event. He gets plus 5 points. And she has like mentally calculated this throughout
Can't
their
hurt my
entire
head.
lives. And I'm like, this girl, you are so obsessed with him. Like,
I hope she has a spreadsheet. Otherwise, how do
it is
you
a very,
keep track?
it is like such a very fine line. And this is like the perfect example of like, it's such a fine line between love and hate.
Oh, yeah.
It is the teeny tiniest, finest little line,
Yep.
and it's just It's so good. It's so good. And then I read The Neighbor Wager by, I didn't write down that, I think it's Crystal Caswell. Yes, it is. And so you have River, who was the nerdy boy next door. And now he's all grown up and not the nerdy boy next door. He's all tatted up. He went away to Europe and got hot. Not literally, but like he got hot. He went away to New York and got hot. And he, since they were kids, had a crush on the neighbor girl, Lexi, who was like blonde, tall, beautiful, everything,
All the
like a
things.
all the things like boy's wet dream, right? But since they were kids, her older sister Deanna was like, listen, she doesn't see you like that. Like, she was really trying to spare him his feelings because she knew how her sister was, right? And so now they're all grown up. He is back from New York visiting with his grandmother, who is their next door neighbor, and they're living in, okay, these people are like rich. So they're living at their father's house, but they have an apartment at the house. Okay. So they're living at the apartments at their dad's house, which is still next door to River's grandma's house. And Deanna and Lexi have created a dating app called Meet Cute. And it is very much, they're very much trying to get investors to come and help them because they want to make sure it takes off. They're very proud of the algorithm and all the work they've put into it. And so they meet with somebody who is like, I love this. We need, once again, we need a poster couple. I don't know how I themed this. This was very unintentional, and I'm
This is
just now
odd.
realizing how insane this sounds. Anyways,
You had a type
so
this week, okay?
apparently I did. So Lexi met her current boyfriend on the app, and Lexi is very much like not a relationship person. She is very much like casual sex, one and done, not into my feelings kind of thing. And she's never been interested in getting married or doing a relationship or anything like that. But she meets a boy on the app and they're like 6 months strong. And this is like legitimately a big deal, okay? Everybody, like Deanna and Lexi, are both surprised and they're both like really happy about it because it means that their app is working. It like pairs people up. There's no photos on the app, it just pairs them up based on their responses to certain questions and things they like and mutual interest and things like that. And so the investor is like, okay, what we're gonna do is you guys are going to be the poster couple, and basically kind of is like, wouldn't mind if you guys showed up at our next like meeting with, a ring on your finger or something. And Lexi panics, right? Because she's like, oh no, I don't do this shit. And so first thing Lexi does is goes to the boyfriend and they have a conversation. They take a break, right? Where they are going to take a break for 2 weeks and then come back together and see if the relationship is still gonna work. And in this time, they are allowed to see other people. Very clear, very like strict boundaries, and they're very clear about it. So nobody's like cheating. There's
Nobody's
no,
cheating.
nobody's running around on it. They're very, very clear on it, which more people need to do this if they are questioning their relationship. Like,
If you're not sure.
if you're not sure, don't run around and cheat. Just have a
Yeah.
conversation. That's
Be
the
a
whole
grown
point.
up. It's okay. It's allowed. You're allowed to be a grown up.
Exactly. And
Preferred,
so,
actually.
right? And so Lexi sees River and is like, dude is hot. I'm hit that during my break. And Deanna was like, is like, oh, we need them to stay together so that we can get this app to work. So she runs interference between Lexi and River. And while running interference in order to save the potential for funding for their app, River and Deanna get a little closer than they have ever been. And well, things happen. And River's little crush on Lexi is like, what crush? I had a crush on her? This is silly. That never happened. I feel like that's a lie. It's cute. I liked it. It was a good time. It was a little annoying at times, but I mean, sometimes when people are being idiots in a novel, they're just It's
It's
just a
the
little too
story, it's the
much. It's the
plot.
story, it's meant to be annoying. So, yeah, I liked it. And then I finished The Wren in the Holly Library by K.A. Lindy. Okay, this book, guys, it is a spicy heist romanticy, enemies to lovers, Forced proximity, slow burn, loosely based on Beauty and the Beast.
Checking so many boxes.
Elements of like historical Easter eggs, like think World War, post World War One, and it just
every
it,
single it, box I have like, got checked. Is there a Shadow Daddy?
I'm just kidding. That would be like the last checkbox, right?
I don't know that I could ever read another book after like
it. It is.
Does Aaron like, Warner show up? Wait,
the vibes are so vibing. Like it is. I say less. Like just say yeah. less. There's so many elements to it, and they all work so well together. And it's just like, my God, did I love it? It was so good, and I'm like so frantic for book two. I'm like, I need the right now. So yeah, it comes out on June 4th. You guys, go get it. If you like any of those elements, literally any one of them, it's so good. Like, I've always said I'm not really a slow burn girly, but it's needed. It's needed. Yeah. And it gets there and it's
perfect.
So good. So yeah. And then last night I went to a book tour event for
just a
Kevin
little
Kwan.
One, not a big deal.
Kevin freaking Kwan, author of Crazy Rich Asians, for his newest book, Lies and Weddings, which just came out earlier this week. So when you're hearing this, it'll be like last week. So I have to tell you this story that he told. First of all, he's hilarious. If you've read,
of course he is.
If you've read his books, like he's just as funny. I adore him. But we were in Menlo Park in the Bay Area. And I don't know if you know this, but John Chu, his family grew up in Palo Alto, also in the Bay Area. And so John Chu's mother was in the audience, which was so sweet. And then at one point, I don't know if he called her or she called him, but he was on FaceTime. John Chu was on FaceTime during this event.
In a room you're in?
In a room that I was in. I was in a room where there was John Chu on a FaceTime. What?
I don't know how you don't just fall out like.
I don't know. So that was fun. And so if you somehow don't know, John Chu was the director of Crazy Rich Asians. Anybody who's been living under the rock, under a rock, not the rock, though. That's a very different thing.
That'd be a really weird place to live.
It's a very different thing.
Wow.
So he is the director of Crazy Rich Asians. He is also the director of the Wicked movie, among
Cannot
other things.
Wait.
I'm dying. Among other things. So John Chu, big deal. Okay. So somebody asked a question about, because Rachel Chu's family is from Cupertino in the book. And mm-hmm. So somebody asked the question like, Kevin, you know, did you spend a lot of time in the Bay Area? Do you have friends here? Like, tell us about that. And so he starts telling us the story. And at first, it doesn't seem to be connected, but it gets there. So when he was living in New York, he was talking to a friend of his about her family and their dynamic and realizing how like very different from his family and his upbringing was. And so he was like, huh. And so he kind of wrote that family into Rachel's family in the book, right? And so this friend of his had like a cousin or something who was trying to like break into Hollywood, trying to become a director in Hollywood. And so he also writes this into the book. And so years later, when they're trying to pick a director for the movie, John Chu's reading this book, right? And mm-hmm. and he's talking to Kevin, and he's like, wow, this really reminds me of my family. The friend was John Chu's cousin.
Oh my God.
How insane is that?
That is so wild.
Isn't that insane? The universe
knows. It knows what it's doing.
Insane. Insane. Absolutely insane. Kevin was like, yeah, it reminds you of your family because it is your family. It I is? Wrote it yeah. based on your family. Like, wild. Wild. Everybody so lost it. Like, that is an insane story. An insane. Yeah. You can't, like, I don't think you can make something like that up. Like,
no.
That feels like fiction, but yeah. like so insane fiction that it just, what? So yeah, that was a story that I wrote down because I had to share that. It was just,
yeah,
wow. So yeah, good times. It was so fun. He was amazing. It was a blast. I texted you this while I was there, but he was his conversation partner was a friend of his, and she was asking these really great questions. And he at one point he was like, "Man, she's a really hard interviewer, right?" And my first reaction was like, "We wouldn't have been. Come hang out.
We would have been nice to you.
We're too anxious to have hard
No,
questions.
no,
We're
yeah.
too incoherent. We would not have been able to
Yeah.
keep it together.
I just want to know who your
Come
fictional
join."
boyfriend is this week. God, come
Oh my God.
on.
So that was my week. It was a good time. I had a good time this week.
This isn't This Week in Fangirling, but the show husband read a book.
Stop. What'd he read? Tell me more.
He's
I
in a
need to know
new
everything.
he's in a new spot at work where he is at a desk more, and so he's able to listen to books. He listened to The Silent Patient. And then what made me think of this was when I brought up Aaron Warner, as I love to sneak in any
Of
conversation,
course.
because he finished The Silent Patient, and he was like, I don't know if I want something where I have to pay attention to every single minute detail like with this, because he's like, I'm still working. So I was like, well, you might like All of Us Villains, you might like, and I threw out like a couple. I've got Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil on hold for him when it comes up. I was like, you might really like Shatter Me. And then I was like, but do I want you to know Aaron? I don't know. Like, do I want my real life husband to like really know Aaron Warner? I don't know. He went with Medlin Kids, which I don't know the author off the top of my head, and I don't know where on my shelf it is, but he's listening to Meddling Kids now. And then he was like, I also asked me, okay, said, I never finished the second Fourth Wing, so I do need to like get that eventually. You want
I love
that?
this.
It's not just like me when we're like driving, traveling, and I'm like, guess what we're gonna listen to? It's Fourth Wing.
I love this for you. I love this for you, and I love this for him, and this is the best.
What if he, listen, manifesting. Love my husband, okay? Manifesting. What if he does read Shatter Me and Bridgerton and all that and becomes a monologuer? Oh my God.
I
Oh
love
my
it.
God.
I love this for you.
Yeah. Anyways, I just had to give that aside because yay, show husband read books.
That's
Good
very
job.
exciting. I love it.
All right. Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
How could I not?
Same.
Truly. How could I not? Okay.
How could you pick?
I've already waxed poetic about Silas and Julius and their monologues. Like, I don't need to say more. But also, and I said this to you when I was reading the Wren in the Holly Library, I met Nate O'Connor, Nathaniel O'Connor, okay? Like, three paragraphs. Like, I think I'm in love with him. I think I'm in love with him. Did he do anything? Did he do anything? No, he just existed and I love him. I don't know why. I could not tell you why, but I love this man. I love him. I love him. I don't know
It's
why.
me when they were like, they call him the Darkling.
I could not tell you
They
why.
call him the what now? I'm in head over heels.
I
Head over
just.
heels. Let's get matching tattoos. They call him the Darkling. Sold.
So, yeah, Nate O'Connor, who, by the way, in the book is a werewolf. So, I mean, I guess there's part of it, but
Listen, yeah, I love a werewolf, man.
I love him. But also from the Wren in the Holly Library, Graves, who is the like male main character slash love interest slash beast inspired character. Yes.
These graves. Again,
Graves.
sign me up.
Listen.
Great name.
Yeah. And he has an ability that we find out about later that is related to him wearing gloves all the time to prevent
Ooh.
his power from being used. So I just there's something about a man that cannot touch you that is just
Oof.
okay.
All right, sold.
All
You
right.
got me.
Anyways, your turn. Tell me yours, as if I need to ask.
I feel like this is the exact same thing I said last week about Larry Russell, but if it was not Colin Bridgerton, I was body snatched.
Right?
Someone kidnapped me, and this is a drone. If it was not Colin Bridgerton, there would be a drone sitting here pretending to be me.
Right.
The chest hair. As we've established from my awakening in 2004, Pride and Prejudice. The chest hair, I don't know, like they, I don't know what they've done. Like his whole face is just like chiseled to perfection. My God. And then Luke Newton knows exactly what he's doing. And I've seen so many TikToks where it's like they really listened to us and he understood the assignment when we were like, he's got to be feral. He has got to be so out of this world for her. Like he's got to be. And one girl was like, I kept having to look away because like I was just watching Penelope walk this man like a dog, like groveling and just like, there are some artistic decisions that he made that people have noticed that is like my mind, my mind, my mind.
Love it.
There was at least one spicy scene that was being filmed where they kept going because they didn't hear cut, 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 cut. Didn't hear it. They broke a prop in recording. Genuinely, this is a joke, but is it though? Darcy and I really hate this girl who apparently is his real life girlfriend because these two are supposed to be together in real life. Like you watch their interviews and stuff together. It's like you are so good at acting that like I am convinced you are soulmates. Their body language, all of it, done. So yeah, it's Colin Bridgerton. My God. God.
I love it.
Oh, I'm sick.
It's fine.
I don't want to get better. So
Never,
there's that.
never. That sound means we have an intruder
Oh,
alert.
it's a repeat offender.
Welcome back to the podcast. We've got Robbie Couch. We're here to talk about next book, Another First Chance. Welcome back to the
How dare you, first of
podcast.
all? How
Yeah.
dare
Thanks
you?
for having me back, y'all. Very excited to be here. And I think this is like the first legit interview I've had to promote the book. I've done like other small things and panels and book festivals, but this is like the kickoff of
Oh,
launch
this is
week for
so
me, which is kind of
exciting.
exciting.
Ooh, I
So
love
happy to be with both of honor.
you.
Oh, this is
This is
so exciting.
amazing.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
All right, so give us the quick elevator pitch of the book. If somebody has been living under a rock and doesn't know anything about it, let them know what it is about.
I'm sure there are billions of people that have never heard about the book, but just in case, yeah. Yeah, so Another First Chance follows River, whose best friend Dylan died in a car accident a year before the book begins. And River's really going through it. He's grieving. He's not in a good place. And so he enters the Affinity Trials, which is a social science experiment happening at his high school over the summer for teens who are struggling socially. And once he's in the trial, though, he starts to explore feelings that maybe Dylan was more than just a friend. And at the same time, starts to learn more about what researchers are actually studying at the Affinity Trials. And spoiler alert, it's not what they said it was going to be. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this book. It's number four out in the world, which is wild. And I can't wait for May 28th.
Yes.
So where did the affinity trials come from? Because I freaking love this.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Like the idea for the trials themselves, you mean?
Yeah.
Or
Or like
it's a
whole
good
book.
question. I
All of it,
feel
yeah.
like the whole book. Yeah, I think it started from a place of so grief is obviously a very big theme of the book, and River is grieving his friend Dylan, his best friend Dylan, right from the very beginning. I think, weirdly enough, the form of grief that more inspired the book was my own kind of reflecting back on my closeted teen self and feeling like those were lost years in a certain sense. And even though I had an amazing time while I was in high school, it was also filled with a lot of heartbreak and pain and trauma related to being closeted. And I think a lot of queer people can relate to that. So I was sort of exploring themes or story ideas that had to do with grief relating to like the lost years of closeted teens. And so that might not make a lot of sense on its head, but I think for those who read the book, it might make more sense knowing the full story about, sort of the what could have been element of River and Dylan's experience. So that's sort of where the original concept kind of began. I like it.
So you do have
Oh.
a like a little prequel short story that you wrote to, like, as an accompaniment to this book. Did you know that you did you have that planned when you wrote this book to have this short story out into the world, or was it something that you finished the book and you're like, I could make this hurt a little bit more?
No, it was definitely not planned. It was sort of a last minute thing. Last fall, I believe. Yeah, I think it was last fall. The Simontine team came to me and was like, "Hey, we love this book. We think it's a really great. It could use as a prequel because it has, as you guys know from reading it, there's a lot of backstory, and this is also the first book I did that was a dual POV. So you." For about a quarter of the book, maybe more like a fifth of the book, you're in Dylan's POV through Dylan's chapters. And so there was a lot of, and then there was like storylines referencing back to when River, Dylan, and Mavis were freshmen. So I didn't want the book to feel too like overwhelming with information from all these different high school years, which hopefully I avoided doing in the book. But to that end, the team at Simon was just like, "Hey, this would be really great to like have a prequel and have some context to their history that really teases and leads up to the story itself." So I was really excited to write it. But yeah, I crammed it. I wrote it in a few weeks, I think around the holidays. And yeah, but it's been cool. It's been awesome getting reader feedback to it. And I'm glad I got to write it.
Okay, so
I
speaking of Dylan's chapters, because I love how you gave us Dylan's POV where we can fall in love with him just like everyone else who meets him does. But was making his chapter headings an outline like a conscious choice since he's not here? Or was that something that somebody at Simon just was like, we're gonna do this?
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. I
I thought
like
that
that
was so
idea.
cool. Yeah,
I
I'm trying to
know.
find
I thought
one.
it was cool too. I know.
Yeah, that is
I
so
thought it
cool
was a
though.
cool design element. Yeah, it was I don't know the specific designer, but it was someone on the design team at Simon. Because we had a conversation around like, okay, it'd be cool to do something that's not a distraction from the story, but can still kind of, highlight, okay, I'm going back into
I'm
River's
going
POV or
back.
Dylan's POV. So I thought that was sort of a subtle but telling design choice. But yeah, I
Yeah.
dig
Yeah.
it.
So there's a lot of like different threads to you can kind of pull on in this book. Like there's a couple different like storylines that are running through it. How did you manage to kind of keep all of that straight? Did you plot it all out in advance so that you knew like I can drop little hints here that lead up to this because there are definitely those. Or was it kind of just an overall idea and you just went with the flow?
Yeah, it was. I'm a plotter. I always outline. Like I'm losing my mind. And it was. I'm with this book especially. I felt like I had to really make sure I was like dotting my I's, crossing my T's. There were so many chapters that actually had to be rewritten, and like just because it was such a sort of similar to If I See You Again Tomorrow, my last book, which because that was a Groundhog's Day time loop story, the consistency between scenes really had to be like perfect. And I felt like this story, there's no like time hopping or time travel in this book. But because there was the dual POVs in different time periods, I had to be really careful of yeah, to your point, kind of introducing things at certain times. And yeah, it was all just in the preparation of the book, and then pulling my hair out quite a bit while I drafted it and realized what a headache I had caused for myself. So yeah, outline.
So I've always tried to subscribe and remind myself that anxiety is your brain lying to you whenever I have like anxious moments. But there's a quote from this book that I like feel will be even more helpful for me and a lot of other people in the future. And I'm going to just give like a the shorter version of it because it can get long. The catastrophic thought pestering you was born from a series of electrical reactions contained in a 3-pound sponge of flesh floating between your ears. And like, I don't want to diminish anything anyone's going through ever. Like, I know there are real, true reasons for anxiety, but like, it helped me realize that like things that I worry about on a day-to-day basis are not catastrophic at all. They really aren't that serious. They're in a sponge. So like, is that like a mentality that you add, like you use yourself? Like, this is just this is just a thing in here, or did it come to you while you were writing?
It's such a good question. I am trying to think if it, I think I had like kind of like a placeholder in that, to quote from what the specific quote would be. And then I wrote through it at first, if I'm remembering correctly, and then came back and wrote it once I could really focus on the language of that. But I love that you like that quote, because I do too. And I definitely don't want to like minimize or trivialize anyone's anxiety, because of course it's like, that's the weird thing with anxiety, is like
it's real
so,
to you.
It can be so irrational, and it, of course, it can be so real to you regardless of how like reasonable your anxiety is, quote unquote reasonable. And so it was more about hopefully this idea of like empowering yourself to be able to not let those anxious thoughts just kind of drain you and take you out of the present too much. But I love that it struck a chord with you.
It really did. Yeah, I was like really sitting there trying not to sob, like, oh my god, this is everything I needed to read right now.
Speaking of the 3-pound sponge inside our brains, there are bits and pieces of like actual, I mean, I don't know if it's actual like neuroscience stuff, because I'm not anything related to that. But it did seem like there was, you know, some research that you needed to do for those parts. How much research did you do for that? And did you like call anybody in to help you with it? Or was it all like, Google, help me?
I actually did. And the same question. Great minds think alike.
Mine was, are you secretly a neurologist? So.
No, but my sister is a neurologist and she's going to be a part of this answer. So I actually did do quite a bit of research, but it was one of the earlier, without giving too much away, chapters where Nora, once they're in the trials, she's explaining kind of, it was the chapter where she's kind of leaning into a lot of the brain science with River for the first time. And that chapter originally was so much more like dense and heavy and like medical. And I was like, why am I doing this? So I had done enough research to really hopefully sound like I know what I'm talking about. And then I ended up taking quite a bit out of it to help like streamline the romance and not have readers get too, I don't want to say distracted, but too focused on like the neurology of it all. But so I did a lot of research, and then I recruited my sister, who's a neurologist, she didn't do like a full like authenticity read, but I would send her different paragraphs or pages that had to do with brain science. And of course, because it was written through River's perspective, you know, he's not a doctor, even though he's very smart and wants to be. And so I didn't want it to read as though like, you know, a 40-year-old neurologist expert in their field wrote the book, but I wanted to still feel like it was somewhat informed. So it was really fun. I learned a lot about the brain. It's a wild organ.
It really is.
For sure.
Like,
I have to see a neurologist. Actually, I had your book with me for an appointment. And a neurologist, just for migraines, is nothing serious. But yeah, that's scary.
You could have just been like, hey, can you,
doc,
can you
please
give the authenticity reader for my
take
friend?
Take a couple hours.
Oh my gosh.
You can borrow it. I wasn't giving this up. Are you crazy? that's really cool that you're like, you were able to just like, hey sis, check behind me on this. And I'm not going to make myself look like a fool, right?
Exactly. That was the goal. And my sister has been like my number one supporter with reading my books and getting super excited. So like, she was really excited to be involved in the process, which made me excited. So it was a really fun process, like teaming up with her for the book a little bit.
I can't remember who it is that meets River, but somebody makes a joke about, oh, your parents must be really outdoorsy or whatever. But we've got River we've got Sky. Are you really outdoorsy? Are you the parent who's really outdoorsy with your characters?
That's a good question. It's weird because you asked that as I'm planning a trip to like hike Mount Baldy. Have you heard of Mount Baldy in California? Yeah. It's like one of the highest mountains here. And I'm so nervous because I'm by far the least outdoorsy person on this trip. So I'm texting the group like, do we need water? And they're like, yeah, on a 10-mile hike, you should probably bring water. So I'm that person. So I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to convince anyone I'm like a true outdoorsy gay.
I'm with you. I
But
say
yeah.
I'm very indoorsy. Like
I'm an
my outdoorsy is
indoor.
like brunch on a patio. That's outdoors
Right.
for me. That's what I want. Like I don't a hike sounds
Yeah.
wonderful. I'm very proud of you for wanting to go on a 10-mile hike
Could
because I
never
would be like,
be.
where do we stop for snacks? Like what are we gonna
I
eat though?
know. Well, that's like half the reason why I'm okay with going, because apparently there's like a restaurant slash brewery on the way down. And so I'm like, okay, if I have like a burger or beer to focus on as I'm
Okay.
coming back down this 10-mile hike, then
Motivation.
I
Like a
can
little
make it through.
reward. Motivate me. I need a
Exactly.
treat after. I'm gonna have a tiny treat at the end of this.
I love it.
Exactly.
Okay, so you've been here before, so you know that we're gonna ask you about your fictional boyfriend. Do you have any fictional characters that you're really like digging right now? Anybody that you think that we need to meet?
Doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional
And
granny, fictional
right.
found family, all of the above.
And I'm trying to remember from last time, was it just like in all of storytelling world or just YA or just literature, just
Oh,
anything?
anything,
Whatever.
movies, books,
Okay.
YA, fantasy, like
Okay.
crime procedural, whatever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I hope I'm not gonna choose a boyfriend from a true crime story. I mean, I don't know. So this person's been on my mind a lot today because I've been listening to a podcast called Offline, where they're talking about her, the movie with Joaquin Phoenix. And the whole point of the podcast is like looking at like old movies, older movies that had to do with like either AI or like tech advances and kind of reassessing them from the vantage point we're in now. Anyways, so I was like eating up that podcast, thinking about the movie, and her was actually one of the inspirations for this book. So even though there's like, have you guys seen her
I
or
know the
no, with Joaquin
premise.
Phoenix?
I need
Yeah, I
to.
mean, there's lots of differences, and it's not YA, so it's not like it's the exact same story. But it definitely, if you ever do see it, there's definitely similarities in terms of like the idea of, well, I'm not even gonna say it because I almost spoiled something. So I would say, very long story short, Joaquin Phoenix is someone who's been very much in my brain
Look,
recently.
he's been in my brain since Walk the Line, so
Yes. I was thinking the same exact
Yeah.
thing.
I was in high school and it was like, oh, okay. Well, all right. All right then. Joaquin Phoenix.
For sure. He's also
All
someone
right.
I'm like, is he just generally problematic or is he totally fine? Like, has he done some messed up stuff? As
It's
I'm
funny that
answering this
you say
question,
that
I'm
because
like,
I feel like I remember, like, there's an itch in my brain, and I don't know what that
yeah.
means about something problematic.
Right. But
But
I'm
I
aware of
don't
it. So I'm
like,
like, damn, I'm kind
problematic
of
is
thinking of it.
problematic, but it's not something
If it
like
was
anytime
really,
anyone says Chris Brown, I'm like, the Rihanna beater? No.
Right.
Like it, I don't remember like a huge thing, but
Something's itching in that brain.
Yeah.
Don't
Okay.
cancel
As
us.
long
We
as she's,
just
I know.
don't
I'm like, I might be
know.
forgetting something, so please don't cancel me.
Yeah. Okay. We know we love your books and we will like scream about your books from the top of all of the mountains that we're gonna not hike, but think about hiking. But we want to know what you're reading and what you're enjoying, what you not even doesn't even have to be like right now, but like what are some books that you think that other people should read or movies that people should watch or anything, any kind of media?
Yeah, I'm really into right now. I'm reading Remarkably Bright Creatures. If you guys have heard of that book, blanking on the author, it's sitting over there and I can't see their name.
I think it's Shelby
Shoot.
Van
Yes.
Pelton, something like that.
That's what I think it says from over here. I think you're right. It's definitely Shelby something.
It's something
But
along those lines.
yes, and it's a very good book about an older woman who like is volunteering or working at an aquarium at night and befriends an octopus that lives there, which sounds very absurd, and it sort of is absurd, but the way that the story is told, it's so heartfelt, and I already know I'm going to be sobbing at the end of it. And she kind of forms this like very unlikely friendship with an octopus, and it's told in the first person through the octopus perspective in the octopus chapters, which I would have
What?
thought, like, how could anyone do that without it being like a Pixar movie? But it's done really well. So,
I'm so intrigued.
I love that.
yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Wow.
And I also just finished Desert Echoes with it, which is Abdi's new book, and it actually has quite a few similarities with my new book, Another First Chance, which is funny because he's doing my launch event on Tuesday, and so we'll definitely be talking about some of the fun similarities. But it's a really, really good book. Tearjerker, so heartfelt, and I think it comes out in the fall, so have your eyes peeled for that.
Awesome.
I'm gonna have to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I know Another First Chance isn't quite out yet. When this episode airs, it will be out. But can you tell us anything about, are you working on anything right now? What can we expect from you? What's to come, Robbie?
Yeah, I have another book that I'm working on right now that I'm very excited about. I would say the working title, but it's emphasis on the working, so it might change. And it also is in a similar vein of If I See You Again Tomorrow and Another First Chance, that's also, yeah, kind of going in a little bit of a speculative bent. And I'm really excited about it. It has to do with memory and nostalgia, and I'll leave it at that. But I'm really, really jazzed about it. And that'll come out next year, either the summer or fall. We're still trying to figure out the exact pub date. And then I have a few other things cooking on the back burner. Is that a thing people
Yeah.
say? So yeah, should be a
Oh.
fun couple years ahead,
I'm loving
hopefully.
this little speculative kick you're on right now.
Yeah.
I am too. I'm not like a huge sci-fi person most of the time, but I like a little bit of, a little dash of surrealism or whatever.
I'm not either, but I'm a Robbie Couch person. And so if you
Yes.
write it, I'm like, this
Oh.
is everything. I never thought that I would love a time loop
Yeah.
novel. And like, I
Oh,
never thought
that's
that that would be something I would be interested in. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
so good.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Thank
Yeah, no, but
you.
for real, you
Yeah,
did
if you
that.
write it, we will read it. Like,
Yeah, and then we will scream about it.
I don't need a
Just beat everybody
description.
over
Your
the head
name is
with it.
on it.
Yeah.
I am there.
Oh my gosh.
For
I'm so
sure.
flattered. You guys are turning me red.
I do have a formal request that one of the next book tours comes to the East Coast. We love you in
know.
Georgia.
I know. I know. I would love to. I know it was hard. This one was a tricky one because it was right after Memorial Day and a lot of like stores were either closed or like already booked or didn't want to have events. So it was a little bit short of a tour this time, but hopefully I'll be in Georgia next year. Are you in
Yeah.
Atlanta or?
No, I'm in Macon, so I'm like an hour and a half from Atlanta. I will
Oh,
drive though. I'm not like I drive to Atlanta for events all the time. It's not a big deal for me.
okay. Okay, sweet. Noted. I'll try to get Atlanta
Yes.
on the list.
Yes. I think Karen has some bad news to tell you though.
We do have a little bit of bad news, and I mean, you've been here before, so you know. Now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all of your future book releases. It's just, it was in the fine print, you know. I'm sorry.
I'll see if my lawyer can find that fine print. Of course,
We always
yes.
joke that it was in white font, so unless you highlighted, you
Yeah,
wouldn't see it,
you
but it's
just,
there,
it's
so.
good. Oh my gosh. If someone hasn't tried that yet, they should. That's good.
We need to not give people ideas like that, though. That
I
feels
always
like
think
it's just.
there was a commercial when I was in high school where it was like somebody, I feel like it was like Exhibit, maybe. It was like a rapper. And this lady was like, "Can I have your autograph?" And then she's like, he signs it and she's like, "This is legally binding." And it was like a marriage contract or something. And so
Oh
anytime you
no.
say that, that's what
Oh
I'm
my
thinking of
God.
is, oh my
oh
goodness.
God.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Oh my
No, I
gosh.
would love
Thank
to come back. This is, as I told you, this is one of my favorite pods to go on. So I will
Oh.
gladly come back for every book. We
Thank
can't
you.
wait. We
Yes, we
already
can't
can't
wait.
wait.
All right, friends, another first chance. If you're listening to this now, this book is out in
It
the
is
world, which means you
out.
can go into a
There's
bookstore,
no
pick it up.
excuse that you haven't read
You have no excuse. No
it.
excuse. And
Yes.
while you're there, go pick up his other three books because they're also excellent, okay?
Yep.
We have never steered you
Yes,
wrong.
cosine. I
Thank
approve
you,
this message.
Robbie, for coming and
Thank you
hanging
for
out with
coming
us.
back.
It was so much fun. We can't wait for
Oh.
what's next. We're so excited.
Oh, thanks. Both of you. This was so fun. I will definitely be back. And yeah, hopefully see you in person at some point this year.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I'm gonna, I
Sweet.
know. The whole like holiday weekend is throwing me off. I'm like, I could I drive to LA? Maybe.
Oh yeah, I mean that is so ambitious. So I would be flattered, but zero pressure to do that. My gosh, that's a lot. That's
But
a
we
lot,
hope
Robert.
you have an amazing tour. I know it's a mini one, but it's going to be
We'll be
fun.
following along on socials and cheering you on from both
Yes.
coasts. So,
Yes. Yay. Sweet.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll talk
We'll
to you
talk
soon.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Freaking love him.
I love him
I
so
was telling
much.
the tw Josh and the twins at dinner tonight, like that we were interviewing Robbie, and I was like, this book made me so sad at times. Like, there's really like a really sad. I was like, but Robbie is like sunshine. So it's like,
Yes,
how did
it's
sunshine
true. It's true.
write this?
It's because he's been hanging out with Silvera.
That's what one of the twins said. She was like, yeah, that's, you know who his friends are, right?
It's so good. And I was like, I read the premise. I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna break me. This is gonna break
You
me.
just have to read the
And
name.
I'm just like,
The author
okay,
name.
well, all
Broken.
right, here we go.
Oh.
All right, so good. Definitely go pick it up. It's so good, you guys. It's so
Big,
good.
big fans over here.
Yeah, we will always scream about Robbie Couch's books. Always, forever. So, yes, this is our mid-season finale, but we do have one announcement for this episode, and that is we will be having a very special bonus mini episode
So it's a
next
baby.
week. It's just a little baby. It
Hello, guys.
is just a little baby. It is actually an interview with K.A. Lindy, the author of The Wren in the Holly Library, among
People at my
other
desk.
things.
We're Patreons. You'll notice we're wearing the same clothes next week.
Yes. Yes,
I'm a lot,
indeed.
my environment's a lot brighter in that episode.
Stay tuned for that. That is coming out next week. And then we are for realsies taking a break. Barring anybody reaching out to us, we will be taking a break
I mean, if
until then.
Tahada says, hey, I want to come on the podcast,
Right. What are we going to do? Say
whenever,
no?
ma'am. Whenever, ma'am.
Are we going to
Four in the
say
morning,
no?
fine.
Absolutely, absolutely will not ever say no to her.
Very
So, yeah, that is
exciting.
what to expect for next week. And then we'll see you guys again in August, probably.
Yeah.
All right. Is it time for a
It's time for a
spiel?
spiel.
Okay. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also stream all our episodes as well as read our blog on our website, theincoherentfangirl.com. There's lots of things for you to do there. It's super fun. And there will be more since we're going on a break and we'll have more time to write in theory. We'll
Woohoo!
see.
We're trying, okay? We're doing what we can.
We're listen, I think I said it earlier today. I'm like, I just read faster than I write. I'm it just happens. I'm sorry. If you are interested in early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, exclusive bonus content, early announcements, and all of that jazz, you can head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/patreon to subscribe to our Patreon and get all of those goodies because why not? It's a fun time.
Yeah.
And speaking of fun time, we have some merch that is a bunch of fun time, designed by this one over here, who will now have some free time to
To
theoretically
make
make
doggy
more.
merch.
More merch. You could match your dog and it would be the cutest.
I think me matching my dog is what gave us the idea when I got a Spark Paws hoodie, and
I
so did
think
he.
so. Yeah.
So, oh, speaking of dogs, if you Patreons notice me when we're interviewing Robbie, like looking around and like giving a stern look, it's because, and looking down, it's because I had to text my niece to come outside and get my bad basset hound off of my desk and out of the empty bag of chips
Oh
that was crinkling as she's tromping all over everything while I'm trying to interview Robbie Couch.
Oh
So
my goodness.
that's just a little
She just
explanation there. Speaking of dogs,
wanted to be a part of it. Listen,
she's
I
just
think
a fat ass who wanted to get some
at
chip crumbs.
some point, I don't know if it's visible because I have little Asian eyes, but my eyes started like focusing elsewhere because there was like little like dust bunny just like falling right in
Oh
front of me.
no.
And I was like, please don't get anywhere near my face.
I will
So,
sneeze.
yeah. Anyways, Incoherent.
Doggy
Love
merch.
us. Doggy merch and regular merch for people. Head to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop to do some shopping there. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And speaking of hearing from y'all, you have one more way to support the podcast, and it's totally free. You can rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please give us your words. Like
we
I said,
would love to read some reviews.
Makes us very
especially
happy.
If you like us.
Yes, especially if you like us. If you don't, probably not so much, but you know.
Boo on you. You're a fun sucker. I bet you're really fun at parties.
And by fun, she means not fun.
Yeah, not fun at all.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Maiden Shine on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some self-care like we are going to be doing. Yay! Visit our internet besties. First stop is going to be herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code fangirl and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head over to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe for a monthly bookish box. You can buy some extra stock that they have of boxes or random merch. They have like a boutique coming soon,
yes,
a boutique
so
like home decor line that I'm dying for. And if you use one of our two codes, you're going to get 10% off. You can't stack them. You can only use one. We love you no matter which one you use. Okay, so you can use either code Mandy10 or Karen10 for 10% off. But you have to make sure you spell Karen right or you're going to get no percent off and looks of shame from us.
Shame.
Okay,
and
she's a mom and I'm an aunt. We have those pretty down.
Locked
okay, so
down. Locked down.
You don't want to see our looks of shame.
And then once you have not shamed yourself, you're going to head over to amberdlewis.com, add like 10 of everything to your cart, and then use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off of the 10 of everything and enjoy a brand new high fantasy series that is just chef's kiss.
Yep, brilliant. Brilliant. And last but not least, you're going to go support the show, husband, because I guess we kind of like him around here. He's okay. You're going to go listen to the latest episode of The Paranormal Mind, wherever you're listening to us. And once you're done with their episode, you can rate and review because they love your words too.
Yeah, and show husband's reading
them.
Now, guys.
Hey, he's a reader now. We're hooking him.
So send the words.
Yes, send him all the words. Make him read. You're going to follow The Paranormal Mind on all the things. And then you're going to follow Searchers Believe on everything. And if you head over to searchersbelieve.com/shop, throw in code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off of more merch designed by me. And maybe I'll do some more designs for them soon over the summer. We'll see. They need doggy merch too. So
everybody needs doggy merch.
Stay tuned.
Absolutely.
I did order Georgie like a couple of winters ago. He had a sweatshirt that said Searchers, but it was from a really crappy website that we were just testing for printing. So now it doesn't say Searchers at all. It's just a blue sweatshirt. But we know it was there.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Oh, and that was
Incoherent Fangirl. The first half of season
three. Season
Insane.
Three. Bonkers.
So weird to say.
It is weird. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, we've been doing this for 3 years.
Wild.
What? Wild. Thank y'all so much for listening.
We'll
now and
see you
always.
Full-time in August.
We'll see you in August. Have a great summer. And you know where to find us if you have words. We love words.
Yeah.
All right, we
love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.